Hey, it's Maggie. I can't get to my phone right now. You know what to do.
Dude, Maggie, I have something to tell you. You gotta call me back.
I'm still figuring it out, so I don't have a good answer for you, but I'll let you know when I do. I felt like I wasn't making a difference, really. I started just feeling very burnt out in multiple areas of my life. Put pineapple in it. I swear to God, it's life-changing. This episode is turning into things Maggie needs to work on, but it's going to hold me accountable, I guess.
Hey, it's Maggie.
And Tia.
And this is
Call Your BFF.
Hello. Welcome back to Call Your BFF. This week and next week, Tia and I are doing solo episodes because life got a little busy and we couldn't really squeeze some time in to record. So we figured we'd do kind of a little week in our life type episode. And we gave each other 10 questions to answer. So we haven't really looked at the questions that much, so it'll kind of just be a chit chat. So when this episode comes out, I will be in Texas. Last week I was in California traveling for a race, and now I'll be in Texas coaching for the youth and junior triathlon team that I coach. So things have been busy, and as it seems to always happen, I got back from California and was sick. So I've spent the past 2 days trying to catch up on work and life, but we couldn't let a week go by without a podcast episode. So happy Friday and welcome to our first set of solo episodes, I guess. So Tia's first question for me was, what is your favorite part of your morning routine? And I have to say, it's just coffee. I like to just get up and have coffee. And if that's how I can start my day every day, I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing, it's going to be a good morning. Pretty simple. I will say, though, I feel like I've almost perfected my at-home coffee routine with the electronic frother and what brand are they? Javi. Javi coffee flavor things. But throw a little bit of that in there, like a tablespoon of that, teaspoon of that, and then some milk. Put it in the frother. Pour it in the coffee. Good to go. It's my favorite part of the morning. All right, question number two. How do you balance your creative brain juices with your job, the podcast, and doing your favorite activities? This is a fun one because I don't know. I know we've touched on this a bit, and Tia and I haven't really, I don't know, most of the people that listen to this are our friends and people that we know. So we haven't really dove more into like what we do and all that stuff. But I quit my corporate job in 2022. And so I have been working for myself ever since then. And then I work part-time, I coach part-time for a kids triathlon team. But I do marketing and graphic design work and like social media and podcast stuff and all kinds of stuff through my own marketing business and kind of have my hands in a lot of things. So it's definitely a challenge to balance it all. And I think my favorite part about this question too is like the balancing of the creativity, because there are kind of multiple sides of what I do in my professional life where, you know, the marketing side is very analytic and data driven and everything like that. And the graphic design side is also data driven, but very creative. So I have to balance my time between those two more so than I think I thought, or more so than people really realize, because there are days where I can wake up at 4 o'clock and spend the next 5 hours designing an entire brand identity. And I have no explanation as to why I was so motivated other than I was just feeling very creative. And there are other days where I absolutely have to get something done. I have to design something and I stare at my computer screen for 30 minutes. So there's times when I'm feeling more creative and there's times when I'm not feeling as creative. And so I'm definitely lucky that I have the flexibility to be able to kind of work around that. But just because I say that I'm lucky to have that flexibility, it's very difficult because there can be days and sometimes weeks that go by that I'm still not in, you know, a very creative mood, or I have 900 other things I need to be doing, but I have to do a design project or something. So, you know, pros and cons. Pros, super flexible with what I do. And, you know, I have the ability to say yes and no to certain projects, but the cons are I need the money, so I say yes to everything. And flexibility is great until you need structure, I guess, if that makes any sense. It's kind of hard doing a solo episode because I don't have anybody to talk to. But anyways, that was kind of a long explanation for that. I guess the rest of balancing my job with the podcast and, you know, training and all my other activities that I like to do, I'm still figuring it out. So I don't have a good answer for you, but I'll let you know when I do. I think it's important to recognize that even if it seems like people have it all together on the outside, sometimes we don't. And I constantly feel like I'm dropping a ball somewhere, whether it be something with work, something with the podcast, or something with my training, or, you know, family, friend obligations. There's always somewhere in my life where I'm dropping the ball. And I think it's normal to do that when you have a lot on your plate. And it's hard to not allow it to happen, but it's hard to have it happen. I mean, I've had to turn down a lot of bachelorette parties and even weddings and baby showers and bridal showers and family outings and races and all kinds of stuff that I would have loved to do or go to, but I just can't make it work. And it's hard when you start feeling like you have all these balls in the air, and I try and keep them all afloat, but there's always one that drops. So again, I'll get back to you when I do figure it out. Let's see. Question number 3. What is your favorite part about your job? I would say my favorite part about my job is probably the graphic design portion of my job is definitely my favorite. And any opportunity I get to do a full brand identity, logo, color scheme, you know, the font, the whole thing. That's my favorite part because I love being able to bring someone else's vision to life. And I feel like being creative is definitely my strong suit. So if I had to pick one specific thing about what I do, that's definitely my favorite. I still dabble in a lot of other things, but I think down the road that might be where I pay more of my attention to, because it is my favorite and it brings me joy, makes me happy, and it's something I'm good at. And I know I try and self-teach myself a lot of other things to just be well-rounded, but if I could really hone in on one skill, it would definitely be the graphic design part. If you could work from anywhere, where would you want to work? Ooh, that's hard. I will say the last year and a half or so, and working for myself and having more flexibility has been great, as I said before, but it does bring its fair share of, not struggles, but its fair share of pros and cons, where it's easy to say, oh, you can bring your laptop and work from anywhere. That's not always the most productive use of time. And I have traveled a lot and had the opportunity to work remote a lot doing those travels, but it's always way more stressful than just being able to be at my home office and, you know, I can just kind of be in my own routine. So I feel like I definitely am somebody that likes the routine and likes to have that stability. But when it comes to like working from anywhere, I would have to just say it would need to be somewhere where it's always sunny. But then again, I am so distracted when the weather's nice. So, yeah, this is going to be like the strangest response, but maybe somewhere like Oregon, where it like rains all the time, because I would probably be very productive. And then the few days that it is nice, I wouldn't do anything and I would just be outside all day. But there'd be plenty of cloudy weather and rain for me to get my work done. So I don't know if Oregon is always that cloudy, but wherever it has rain and cloudy days, it sounds really depressing. But yeah, that's probably where I would get my best work done. All right, number 5. What's your favorite part about starting your own business? Tell us also about your new employee. So I think my favorite part about starting my own business is the ability to work with so many different industries and have my hands in so many different aspects of marketing and of design that I was limited to in my old job. And that wasn't to fault anyone or anything there. It's just when you're working for a corporation and your role is marketing coordinator, there's only so much that you're able to do because it's just one business. And it sounds stupid, but it's, you know, I did have my hands on a lot. I was doing social media and the emails. I had a team around me also doing that too, but social media, email, website, video editing, print design, marketing, promotional stuff, all kinds of things. But when it came down to it, it was same industry, same products, same messaging, same stuff over and over again. And my biggest thing was I felt like I wasn't making a difference really. And I have had to kind of come to the realization that not everything I touch will be making a difference in somebody's life. But I think starting my own business and working with small businesses and working very one-on-one and helping them from inception of this is my idea to their first sale, or, you know, 10 steps ahead of that of this is what I have, I don't know it's not working, to, oh my God, it's working. Just like being able to be a part of those milestones with other businesses, it brings me so much joy and makes me feel like what I do truly matters and does make a difference. I have always felt like I have to be doing something for a purpose. And so when I was sitting behind a desk and not having that interaction to the end user, I was not feeling like what I did mattered. So I think that's been my favorite part, honestly, is being able to be a part of so many different milestones of other business owners' own accomplishments. And it's fun and it's special. And my new employee, she's not really my employee, but I have kind of started to bring somebody on to help me with a little bit of administration work. Right now I have her helping me with some client work, specifically podcast editing, because she does have her own podcast and had some experience with that. And that was one of the things that she really wanted to learn more about. So I have her helping me there. And I really hope that I can continue to work with her and, you know, build up my client portfolio more so that I can bring more work in to provide her. And I'm kind of at a point with my current client load where I can't bring anybody else on or I'll start dropping the ball in multiple areas, which has already started to happen a bit. And there's a lot of administrative work and a lot of small stuff and just time-consuming things that I have noticed are starting to take away a lot of my time. So bringing somebody in to help me either on a small scale with administrative work like that or bigger scale and just kind of having somebody be my like right hand when it comes to, you know, I don't have time to create this email, but, you know, my partner does, or, you know, I have a team with me. So that's the goal. If I were to have like a 3-year goal, it would be to be able to have one or two people that I am either working alongside or have brought in on like a part-time basis or whatever that looks like to be able to help, you know, manage a larger client load and share projects. So, but yes, that is my expanding. So question number 6, what does your average training for triathlon look like? Well, average training, this is another good question. I, in like 2020, during COVID and everything shut down, everybody was home. I was kind of just equally doing as much training as I was working because there wasn't really anything else to do. So I would say 2020 and 2021, I was in my best shape and best training consistency, training like 12 to 18 hour weeks and just being very focused and very consistent and hitting all my workouts for the most part. And it was a lot of fun and I was seeing results from it when races started opening back up. But I, unfortunately, towards the end of 2021, I started just feeling very burnt out in multiple areas of my life. I was at that time when I was debating whether or not I wanted to stay with my job. I had co-founded a triathlon club in our community. And between that, working full-time and trying to train at a high level, I was never seeing friends. I was never seeing family. It was around that time when people were like, we think Maggie hates us because she never responds to us. And so I was dropping the ball in areas of my life that were important to me because I was trying to maintain too much responsibility at the time, but also not setting very good boundaries in my life. And because of that, led to kind of a all around burnout. And I wound up leaving my job then March or April of 2022. We wound up closing the club just because of some financial reasons and also just didn't have the stability in place for anybody to be able to take on the more responsibility that was needed to keep it running. And I kind of took my training took a backseat. And that's when I started working part-time and I also started my own business. And then that fall, I started coaching the kids team that I'm still with. So 2022 was definitely a year of just a lot of adjustment and a lot of change and kind of just like recovering from a life burnout. And I say I'm still kind of recovering from it and just got back from California, like I said, this past week, and I had raced a 70.3, which is a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike, and a half marathon. And I haven't done that distance since October of 2021. So it has taken me since then to really get back into it. And I was joking of like feeling like myself again, but it's true because I spent so much time training for that and, you know, loving that distance and everything that I just felt like I needed to get back into that. So it felt good to be back racing and training for it. And I guess going back to the question before I went on a tangent of what does my average training look like? Going into this past weekend's race was not as structured as I would have liked. Still trying to figure out how to set boundaries and, you know, balance all of my responsibilities in life while also training. However, an average week for me looked like between 9 hours and 16 or 17 hours of training. And it's, you know, mostly 2 workouts a day or, you know, 1 long workout. The winters in the Midwest are hard because I'm biking on a trainer inside and my bike setup is also in the same room as my office space. So there are some days where I feel like I don't really leave a 10 square foot room. But I have gotten better with that, and I have found other places to bike. Like the basement of our apartment has a spin room. So we've moved our trainer down there a few times for like some long rides. And I've gone to coffee shops and worked elsewhere just to kind of like get out of the apartment a bit more during the winter. But I made an effort this winter to run outside no matter, well, I won't say no matter the weather, because we had some cold days and I would run on a treadmill. But I did find that even on, you know, 28 degree days, I'd go out in the middle of the day when it was the nicest. And it was refreshing, even though it was cold. It's refreshing to be able to get outside, get some fresh air, and just get my run done. And it felt a whole lot better than being cooped up on a treadmill. So I would say I was very proud of myself for that in my training, because I have never been a committed runner at all. And I think I was the most committed to, of the three, swim, bike, and run, my running over the past, you know, winter season. So swim, on the other hand, not so great. I was always banking on my friend texting me asking if I wanted to go swim with her to get my swim workouts in. So moving forward and going into another training block, I'm definitely committing to being more consistent with it and kind of getting back to a healthy balance of it, but also kind of where I was when I had been kind of at my peak fitness, because I know I have it in me, and I have gotten really bad at making excuses because I don't set very good boundaries with my work. And so that is what I am going to be working on. Again, I will let you know when I figure that out. Alrighty. What are your go-to snacks and meals during the work week? Ooh, okay. I am the type of person that could eat the exact same meal every day for lunch. And I almost, for the most part, do. So my go-to meal is rice, tofu, black beans, green pepper, onion, little green like guacamole sauce, tomatoes, some hot sauce, lettuce if we have some. It's good. It's my favorite. It's like a just like a burrito bowl. I, honest to God, think I could eat that for every day for lunch and every other day for dinner, and I wouldn't get sick of it. But that's my go-to. I have it on average 5 times a week. And then I would say, let's see, snacks. That's hard. I'm not really a snacker. Because if I'm going to snack, I'm just going to have a meal. But I love chips, so that's hard. I love Gardetto's. I've been on a Clementine kick, which actually, now that I'm saying this, I remember talking about this in a past episode. My nutritionist told me to eat more Clementines, and I have bought them. But now, I truly enjoy having them as a snack. And I would say my other, like, latest go-to meal, not really go-to, but my latest like meal obsession is this Indian dish. And I don't have a recipe for it. I just throw stuff together, like curry paste, tomato paste, tomato sauce, all the Indian fixings, peas, tofu, throw it in some rice, the coconut milk, the coconut cream. But here's the kicker: pineapple. It's so good. Make your own curry at home. You want tofu or you want chicken, add your meat to it, put pineapple in it. I swear to God, it's life-changing. It's such a good balance of flavor. Okay, I'm off that now. Okay. Alrighty, next question. Cheers to the weekend. On top of coaching, what are your favorite activities to do? Ooh. So this is an interesting question too, because another thing that I'm trying to work on, this episode is turning into things Maggie needs to work on, but that's going to hold me accountable, I guess. One of the things that I've been trying to work on is actually creating days off or a weekend for myself, because ever since I started working for myself, I haven't really dedicated days off per se. And so even though there are days that I might only do 3 to 4 hours of work, it still is hard not having a full day of just kind of checking out of what I'm doing And there have been very few days where I have just turned all my stuff on Do Not Disturb and just not worried about anything. And part of that is working in social media is very hard to really take a day off. I force myself to do it now, probably once a week, where I just kind of like detach from it altogether. But I am trying to get better at giving myself a quote unquote weekend or day or two off within my week so that I can just completely not be doing work related things. But to say that, I do coach on Saturdays and that takes up a good majority of the day. So it feels like work sometimes, but at the same time, you know, it's fun and it's just biking with the kids, running with the kids, and then standing on a pool deck. So I would say, it's like my favorite way to spend a Saturday. It's just training all morning. But I would say my favorite activity other than that would be always something last minute. Like my cousin plays hockey and I'm always up for a last minute, hey, do you want to go watch Brogan? Because I'm always up for a hockey game. And I guess I'm kind of boring. I like to be able to have time to just go for a walk, take the dog for a walk, or go to a new coffee shop, or just kind of do something that's detaching from what I normally do, whether that's knitting or doing a puzzle or reading, watching a TV show. I don't know, just kind of chill activities. Unfortunately, Tia lives too far. Just kidding. She only lives 3 hours from me. But if Tia lived closer, I would probably go visit her every weekend if I didn't have other things to be doing. But yeah, I'd say all of that. And I guess that kind of goes into this next question. Tia asks, when you aren't feeling all the movement, what are your favorite low-key hobbies? That's definitely going for a walk. I love just going for a long walk and listening to a podcast. I love like long podcasts where I can just walk for like an hour. It feels good. It feels refreshing. It doesn't feel like movement per se, but I know it's still good for me and kind of just allows me to reset both like physically and mentally. I think that's kind of my favorite way to like de-stress. But yeah, I guess the other hobbies that I just listed, like knitting. Oh, I didn't say painting. I like painting, but painting's also like, got to pull everything out and then I got to paint and then it takes like 4 hours and then I got to put it all away. So sometimes I'm too lazy to do that. But again, I got to be in a painting mood. So painting, knitting, walking, those are my favorite activities. I'm kind of like a 70-year-old living in a 28-year-old's body now that I say that out loud. But Sudoku, they're also fun. Yeah. I am a grandma. All right, last question. What's your nighttime routine like? What's your favorite part of this routine? Would you change anything? This one's interesting too. So I always like having a calm end to my day. I need a lot of time to just like de-stress, and I'm bad at being on my phone up until the second I go to bed. I would love to be that person that just reads before bed. Again, this is turning into like what Maggie needs to do, accountability. So if I could start putting my phone down and like read a chapter of a book before bed, that would be my ideal like night routine. Just get ready for bed. Tyler started coaching at a college in the fall. And so he had to be up every day around 4-ish, 4:15 to make it to practice. And so we went from having our kids' practices in the summer, not getting home until around 10:15 or so, to now him having to be up at 4. And so that was a big change to our routine in, you know, going to bed much earlier, waking up much earlier instead of going to bed at 11 o'clock and waking up at 7 or 8. It turned into going to bed at 8 and waking up at 4. So that's been an interesting thing to navigate. I definitely am more of an early bird, which is hard because some days I am a night owl, but it kind of ebbs and flows. I think like in the winter, I'm more of an early bird because I like the quiet and the darkness and everything. And in the summer, I just love summer nights. So I just like being up later and I enjoy waking up with the sun a bit more in the summer. So, but nighttime routine kind of, I think, changes for us right now, depending on the season. And because of his responsibilities, and I kind of just go along with it because it's easier. Otherwise, we wouldn't see each other. So still figuring that out again, as I've answered for 5 of these questions, I guess. But yeah, those are all the questions. I kind of just babbled a bit. But hey, that's kind of what this podcast is all about. T and I said from the beginning, it was just going to be real and authentic and really just be conversations between me and her. And so I guess when me and her are both busy, you just get conversations from one of us. So yeah, let us know if you liked this. Tia's solo episode will be next week. And then let's see, what do we have going on after that? We have some really exciting stuff happening. Oh, yes. Tia's episode next week. And then the episode that we have going after that is going to be something super fun, super cool. Our very first collaboration with another company. I'm not going to give out too much, but you guys will definitely want to tune into that one on the 26th. But you'll also want to tune in next week for Tia's episode and every week after that, because we are your virtual best friends. So I hope you have a great Friday and a great weekend. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.